And the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Hello, everyone. This is not Pete Shepherd. This is Eric Friends from Bleacher Report and Cold Hard Football Facts. Me and my friend Mike Dussault from PatsPropaganda.com will be filling in today. And we are actually just going to introduce ourselves really quick. So I am Eric Friends. I write for Bleacher Report and Cold Hard Football Facts. I've been writing for about 3 years. I graduated from the University of Southern Maine in 2008, and I've been a Patriots fan follower since about the age of 7 or 8 years old. So I've got quite a long history of Patriots fandom in my blood, and Mike does as well, and I believe Mike's on the line. So, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, hey, Eric. I'm here. I guess we should probably tell everybody that we do a Patriots podcast, so we're we're used to talking to each other. And for you, obviously, you're in the studio, but for me, I'm just I'm at my house, so it's pretty much the same to me. But obviously, it's an honor to be filling in for Pete Shepherd, and you know, I think our point of view and our somewhat of a I guess we're somewhat homers, you would say. But I think our point of view will fit in with his. And it's great to be on the mother station of Patriots.com and talking Patriots.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, why don't you tell the people a little bit about you? Obviously, we have our core of listeners is probably tuned in, but there are obviously far more listeners, as Jeff and I were talking about before you came on the air. This is kind of an international show. So, Mike, why don't you introduce yourself and what you're all about?
Yeah, well, I grew up a couple towns over from Foxborough in Holliston, Mass, and went to a lot of Patriots games as a kid. I think one of my first memories was witnessing my first fight at the old Foxborough Stadium, which was a little bit traumatic, but did not affect my overall Patriots fandom. And I've been I've been a Patriots fan for life after that, but I've been writing about the Patriots for different websites for the last, I guess I started in December 2007. The inspiration that started me to write or start blogging about the Patriots was when I, ironically enough, went to the Steelers game in 07, and there I am tailgating on Route 1, and up above there was a plane pulling a sign around that said, Barry Bonds with an asterisk, and then, you know, Bill Belichick, 3 rings, asterisk, you know, something like that. And I just thought, oh, man, I got to say something about this. So we clicked a picture of it, wrote a blog about it, and that's kind of started a long journey that basically just about the Patriots, all about, you know, X's and O's, that kind of point of view, and started my own website, Pats Propaganda, since it was just wanted to focus solely on the Pats, and I've been writing in that website and Twitter handle for the last, I guess it's just about a year and a half now, and yeah, it's been great. It's been a great experience, and obviously meeting up with you, and we've been doing a podcast now for, I guess, since February that we started or so, just about 10 months.
Yeah, it was right after right after the Pats Jets loss, a couple of weeks after that.
I guess that inspired us to take to the airwaves, and obviously we met at Blogapalooza, which Joe Gill of Boston Sports then and now organized, and that was a great networking event, and then our podcast came out of it, and here we are talking Patriots on Patriots.com. I doesn't get any better than this.
Absolutely, and just got to take a second here to extend a very, very large thank you to Fred Kirsch, who's the reason that Mike and I are on the air today. Pete Shepherd, as you probably know, is in Jamaica getting married, so we wish him well in his marriage and in his trip to Jamaica, and obviously send a huge thank you to Fred Kirsch for bringing us on. Met Fred probably about 3 months ago, sometime during training camp 2 months ago. So we didn't really talk very much after that, but I guess when he found out that Pete was going to be gone for a week, that he called me up remembering that me and Mike host this podcast and thought that it'd be nice to give us a shot at it. And, you know, it's almost like Brady coming in for an injured Bledsoe back in 2001. So, not looking to take Shepherd's spot here or anything, but definitely an honor and a privilege to be here. So thank you, Fred.
I think a more apt comparison might be Matt Castle coming in for Tom Brady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we'll do a good enough job to hold the fort down, but, at the end of the day, maybe we'll get traded to Kansas City. I don't know, but
I don't know enough about the Chiefs to talk about them for 2 hours. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But I guess let's just lead in here and just kind of give our background on, you know, and what on how we feel about this team at this particular juncture. You know, with the bye week, it's given us a lot of time to reflect. So Mike, I guess why don't you just give your general thoughts on where this team stands right now, and you know, some good things that you saw that you liked, and some things you think might need improvement overall. Just your general thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, a large part of my blogging and writing about the Patriots, it really has kicked into full gear. It's just kind of my curiosity about, you know, obviously Bill Belichick has had quite a long run with the Patriots, you know, longer run than you often see in the NFL. And we had to know at some point that the defense was going to turn over. I mean, when he came in, he had these guys like Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis and, you know, who have been there for a few years and were somewhat vets, and obviously they built a dynasty defense with those guys, but it always had to be in the back of our mind that defense was going to have to turn over before Tom Brady's career was over. So a lot of my point of view and the thing that interests me is that defensive rebuild over the last few seasons. And I think what we're witnessing now is, I mean, obviously the defense is the big topic that everybody wants to talk about, and, you know, it's obviously them going to the 4-3 and, you know, all the changes that they've kind of made this year, which we've talked about at our podcast, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so. That's the thing that fascinates me most. So now here we are in the season, somewhat what we kind of expected. I mean, look, we knew that Tom Brady and the offense was going to click on all cylinders, and, you know, that they were going to score their points. But the big question was, of course, can this defense win a championship? And I think that remains the question. We've seen some good things in the last couple weeks that, you know, have some of us feeling a little better. Obviously, there are some statistics that I'm sure everybody would love to talk about that, you know, somewhat point to they're not that great yet. But overall, I'm encouraged, and you know, I'm excited, and I think that the amount of young talent that they have on this defense is only going to continue to get better as they get more game experience. And, you know, we can only hope that they'll peak towards the end of the season, and, you know, hopefully make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was definitely some steps in the right direction this past week against the Cowboys and also against the Jets. I think it's fair to point out that obviously the plays against Romo and Sanchez, you know, those guys are really, they're prone to those mistakes that the Patriots, you know, kind of capitalize on. And it wasn't exactly, you know, they didn't really force those mistakes like we're used to seeing them do, but it's fair to point out at least that those are guys that it's a little bit easier to let them or to stop them, because you're not allowing yourself to get beat by them if you're simply taking away their best threat. And I think that when they took away Dustin Keller for most of that game, they also took away Dez Bryant in that game. I think that that was really a big help for them to, you know, shut down that offense and at least slow things down for them. That's what we've seen a lot from this defense so far this season. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's been great statistically, because it's been pretty bad statistically, to be perfectly honest, but it hasn't been all that bad when you look at it from a game planning perspective. They're taking away opposing offenses' best threats on a week in, week out basis. And it's been, you know, obviously I wrote about Antonio Gates had 0 catches, 0 yards, zeros across the board. And, you know, that was a big part of that game plan. You and I talked about it in our podcast. that was a big part of their game plan leading into that game, was that they needed to shut down Gates because he was their best weapon. And when you look at it from just the pure numbers, obviously it doesn't look that great because of all the points and the yards, but it's been a mishmash of them getting the plays they need to against an opposing offense's best threat. And I think that is really where Belichick puts a lot of his stock. That's why he's so adamant that the stats at the end of the day don't matter as much as the final score, because if they're able to execute a game plan that might lend itself to higher stats across the board for other people, as long as they're coming out of the game with a win, then they executed the game plan exactly the way they needed to.
Right, and it's a sign that as a young defense that they're listening and that they're coachable. And I mean, I think by obviously the players that you know that the Patriots covet, the kind of, you know, what I term football nerds. I mean, guys who, you know, just live, breathe football. They're obviously listening to what the coaching is and what the game plan is. You know, I think the staggering thing that's hard is that obviously we have a level of expectation here. And I mean, odds are we know the Patriots are probably going to make the playoffs. And so the big question is, you know, what is that fatal flaw? What is the thing, you know, that's going to fail them when they need it most? And I mean, it's hard to say, all right, well, they're really low ranked. You know, they're 32nd ranked team in terms of passing yards allowed. Well, you know, when we look last year at the playoff loss to the Jets, and, you know, kind of similar problems existed in the pass rush, and, you know, we've talked about this. It wasn't really the things that had haunted them all year that came back to bite them in the ass. It was Tom Brady had an off game, which, you know, no one was talking about that during the year. No one was saying, geez, you know, we're going to get to the playoffs and it's going to be Brady having an off game that's going to be the thing that ruins it. So it's a little hard to overanalyze and cherry pick certain statistics and say, all right, well, this is the problem, and then this is what's going to prevent them from winning the Super Bowl, because you don't know. I mean, the ultimately the goal is to peak at the end. And I mean, I'm somewhat, you know, I don't know. We haven't really talked about this much, but in terms of, they're always saying, oh, you want to, you know, peak right at the end and you want to be playing. You know, I agree that you need to be playing your best football at the end of the season, but a lot of it just comes down to having 3 or 4 games where you just get lucky, you play well, the bounces go your way. You know, it's not like every year you can look back at a Super Bowl champion and say, you know, in December that team really just started clicking and they, you know, didn't stop. I mean, a lot of times it's like the Giants, you know, when they beat us in the Super Bowl, it was, you know, all of a sudden they just had a great, you know, postseason and they won, you know, and it was so. Of course, we're going to look at the stats, especially when they're as overwhelming in some areas, but ultimately, it's just getting better and trying to improve and taking to the coaching like we were talking about and, you know, taking away the threats that they think they need to win the game.
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, this kind of leads perfectly into something that we decided we were going to talk about in this podcast. The media perception around this team is loaded with pessimism all the time. And it's pretty irritating to me when, you know, the team is consistently winning games, but for whatever reason, it's all doom and gloom. And I understand that you want to look at the statistics that tell you that things aren't going right or that there are certain things that the Patriots need to improve on. I totally get that. But it's never going to be statistically perfect. And for whatever reason, the media, for some reason, has kind of taken this stance that unless it's statistically perfect, it's completely unacceptable. And I'll read a quote that I pulled from a Globe article. I won't throw names under the bus, but here it is. The guy says, Bill Belichick hates when we do this, but the Patriots look like a 14-2 team, 13-3 at worst. Take a look at the rest of the schedule. A lot of easy games in there, but New England's defensive backfield still doesn't look playoff worthy, and no matter how great the regular season record is, the Patriots face a heap of pressure because they haven't won a playoff game in nearly 4 years. Now, the last I checked, they were 5-1, and we're looking ahead to the postseason as a potential letdown because there are certain statistical areas that the Patriots continue to struggle in that they haven't improved on. And while I totally understand needing to improve in certain areas of the game, I don't think that you can isolate one or two areas of the game that you need to be solid in to win the playoffs or to win the Super Bowl.
It's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Thank you, Belichick, for chiming in on that one. It's totally ridiculous because, I mean, teams have won the Super Bowl with weaknesses in areas that we never thought that would be possible. I mean, you look at the Colts from 2006 when they came out of that 38-34 game against the Patriots in the AFC Championship. They won that Super Bowl with a pretty bad defense. Like, a very bad defense. Yeah. Boom. Go ahead. Boom, guys. But with that defense, they were still able to win the Super Bowl. And then, obviously, the Saints did it similarly. They blitzed a lot. They got a lot of sacks, a lot of interceptions. But there were other areas in which they struggled on defense. They were a pretty bad run defense. They did give up a bunch of yards in the passing game. And for whatever reason, that all went overlooked. Nobody really cared as much about that. And nobody really said as much about those weaknesses as reasons that this team couldn't win a Super Bowl. But all of a sudden, when the Patriots are struggling, even if they're 5-1, these are weaknesses that will unquestionably prevent them from winning a Super Bowl. And it just doesn't add up to me.
Right. I have a really positive outlook in terms of the secondary. I mean, I know it's been a little ugly, you know, especially the first couple games. But when you look at the talent that they have and the talent they've drafted, and, you know, Patrick Chung, who I've been, you know, just a huge fan of since he was drafted, really, and you know, predicted big things for him last year, and obviously he stepped into a leadership role. You know, hopefully his thumb's a little healthy. I don't know if we got a report if he got his cast off yet or anything after the bye week. Hopefully that would help him, you know, make a few more plays on the ball. But, and obviously, Cordy struggled a little bit early on. But, I mean, Kyle Arrington's been really stepped his game up this year. I mean, and I know Ross Iadaline can't stay on the field for more than two games at this point. But when you look at the talent that they've drafted, and we can, obviously this is probably going to segue into the drafting and the criticism of draft picks, but it's like, who really cares if draft picks don't pan out? It's like, you just want to find good players, and it's like, all right, Brendan Tate, you didn't pan out, we're going to let you go. You know, it's not a matter of wanting to hit on all your draft picks. It's wanting to find players who can do what you need them to do. And when I look at the Patriots secondary, not on the stat sheet, but just in terms of on paper and the kind of performances that we've seen out of these guys, Lee Bodden, you know, also another one who, obviously coming off an off year where he was injured, and, you know, it takes a little time to probably get back into the flow of things. But when you look at the talent that we have in the secondary, maybe the safety spot next to Patrick Chung not included, I mean, it stacks up pretty well comparatively to some of, I mean, look at the 2004 secondary that we won a Super Bowl with. I mean, Randall Gay on the outside, you know, I'm not necessarily that pessimistic, and I think that this team just needs to play together. They just need to play big games. They need to play games like this weekend against Pittsburgh on the road. They need to go into places like the Jets, you know, in a few weeks and take on that kind of challenge. That's what this defense needs, and I write about this a lot. It's, you know, you look at Bruschi and McGinnis and all those guys, and look at the experiences that they had early in their careers. Those guys didn't just step on the field and were like, wow, this is a dynasty defense. We're getting pressure. Everybody's covered. Ty Law is amazing. You know, they lost a Super Bowl. Granted, they were pretty good, and, you know, they got to a Super Bowl pretty quick. But these things take time, and, you know, I'm personally, over the last couple of years, enjoying the process, enjoying how they've added talent and where they've added talent. And obviously, it's a lot of really interesting moves, and that's why we're able to have a podcast every week all off season talking about, you know, where to add talent and what kind of things they need to do. But when I look at the youth and the speed and the talent on this defense, it's no longer the old and slow defense of, you know, 2008, which is, or 2007, 2008, you know, which I think the Steelers are starting to get that a little bit, you know, when people, I think early on when they weren't playing that well, this defense starting to get old and slow, you know. But luckily we're past that point, and, you know, I'm just looking forward to the progression of watching these guys improve. And honestly, I think they're going to be pretty good for a lot of years, too, not just this year. And
yeah, well, you know, we are live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com, or you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And we are obviously hitting the ground running here talking Pats. And I think that when you look at the secondary, the play of the secondary specifically, I think that it's, you look at a game like the one they won against the Cowboys, and that's the type of game that they needed to win. They needed to win that grinded out game, and I think that obviously some of the play calling of Jason Garrett went into the end of that game. Obviously, they didn't really want to put the ball in Romo's hands, but they did. They did torch the secondary for a bit there, 317 yards, but they only gave up one touchdown. So I think that you look at overall how the secondary is playing, and it's in spots, but it's never going to be 100% perfect. And I think that with the red zone defense especially, that's really where their strength is. And it's that old cliche that everybody absolutely hates, especially us up here. We all want to see a dominant defense, but the Patriots just bend, don't break. And I think that that's really conducive to what we were talking about earlier with the specific game planning of going up against one player, because if you're taking that guy away, then you're not allowing them to impose their will, and it kind of lends itself to slowing down the tempo of the opposing offense, leaving them out there for more plays, which in turn leads to more mistakes or the more higher possibility of stops on third downs or even in the
red zone. Everybody just do your job.
Sounds good, Belichick. But I think that here, if we have a secondary that's, you know, that's not necessarily stifling opposing defenses or opposing offenses, rather, I think that it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a team that's doomed in January. But obviously, with that being the biggest weakness, it doesn't look pretty, especially with the league being so pass happy and with such high yardage games in a week in, week out basis. So, you know, a lot of things to be upset about, but a lot of things also to be very pleased with. And, you know, not the least of which obviously is Tom Brady and Wes Welker. I mean, we've spent the first 25 minutes here talking about the defense, but I guess, you know, the offense clicking on all cylinders, and it's at least worth note that these guys are on record setting paces. I mean, I know that obviously yardage situation or the yardage totals aren't always indicative of what we're seeing on the field. It's more about percentages, but I think that with the way that they've played through the first 6 weeks of the season, definitely promising, you know, that they can carry this team through a stretch run in the playoffs.
Yeah, one other quick point. I think it's kind of ironic that, you know, all off season, or well, I should say for the past few years, you know, all we hear is beating the drum of, we need a pass rusher. Well, I find it ironic that we played probably the best pass rusher in the game in DeMarcus Ware, but at the end of the game, they lost because they couldn't cover Aaron Hernandez. You know, so it's all related. Not to say that, oh, you know, we don't need a pass rusher or anything like that, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it's such a fluid situation of how you're going to win or lose games. If you're trying to reach just to get that one player, I mean, you can have the best one in the game. And if your problem's in another area, the things that could come back to bite you. But, I know offensively, I mean, for people who obviously probably haven't heard our podcast, we do spend a lot of time talking about the defense, but I guess it's because obviously the Patriots, we know what to expect. And I think last year was a really an interesting year in terms of the evolution of the offense. And, you know, we were just talking about pass rusher. Now we're probably going to get into the deep threat, which is the other buzzword of what the Patriots lack that apparently will make them a true Super Bowl contender. But this offense, I mean, it seems like they've really just taken it to another level this year. And I think a lot of that obviously has to do with the development of Gronk and Hernando. You know, just having those tight ends and being able to come out in a two tight end set, you can basically dictate what you want to do based on the defense, and the defense is going to have to reveal what they want to do, and you can just do what you want to do, the opposite, and take advantage of that. So I love this offense right now, and you know, I'm sure we got 2 hours, we're probably going to have to talk about Chad Ochocinco too. But with Branch and Welker on the outside, you have two of Brady's all-time favorite receivers that he's ever had. I mean, you know, you say what you will about Randy Moss, but those two guys have always gotten it done and, you know, clutch situations for him, you know, and obviously he has just a great rapport with them and a great trust with them. With those two guys on the outside and with Gronk and Hernando on the inside and the offensive line that's playing pretty well and all the running backs, I mean, there's just a wealth of weapons and there's so many things that they can do. And, you know, obviously we'd all love to see Chad Ochocinco come around and play like the star that he was back in 2006 and 2007, but I don't think that that's an absolute necessity for this team to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And this is a point that I brought up in the past hour, is that, you know, Brady's out there throwing to two of his favorite receivers of all time, not just this year, but, I mean, Branch and Welker are two guys that have been some of his most noteworthy go-to receivers in his career. And it's not like it's not like Ochocinco is riding the bench because they want to get more playing time for Matt Slater or for other guys that, you know, that we would automatically assume that Ochocinco is better than those guys. It's been, I mean, Gronkowski and Hernandez, the two of them, obviously a phenomenal start to the season. Welker and Branch are just two of Brady's favorite receivers. And I think you look at the way that they're running this offense right now, it's been very much two tight ends, two wide receivers, one running back. That's been pretty much the standard of their formations. I don't know exactly what the numbers are on that, but it's a pretty gross margin in favor of two tight end sets. And that really doesn't lend itself to getting Ocho on the field. If you saw the Cowboys game, the one play where the one noteworthy play, obviously the miscommunication between he and Brady, that was a four receiver set that they were in on that play. So those are the times that you're really going to see Ocho out there, which, I mean, it makes it look like this Pittsburgh game might be a game where Ocho Cinco kind of jumps out and, you know, stands out, finally gets his opportunity, because, you know, the Patriots have a tendency to really spread the Steelers out and test that secondary when they play them. Also, Ocho Cinco has a lot of experience against the Steelers as a member of the Bengals. So I think that this could be one of those games where he definitely picks it up a little bit, and we're all just kind of waiting on it. But I mean, it won't even be the end of the world even if he doesn't. I think that, you know, last year we talked about earlier, Hernandez didn't have a single reception against the Steelers, and they still scored 39 points. And I don't expect Hernandez to have zero receptions again against the Steelers. I think that there are just too many mismatches with those two tight ends that the Patriots will find ways to expose them, and eventually they'll open things up.
I'd sure take zero fumbles from Hernandez, though. That would be nice. I know ball security has been a little bit of an issue for our friend Mr. Hernandez, but... yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup, and I mean, I think even Rex Ryan had admitted it, that he knew if they didn't beat us last year that it was going to be us that won. He didn't think that Pittsburgh had a chance against the Patriots offense. I think he said something to the effect of Patriots are just going to spread them out and they'll just pick them apart. You know, interesting article on ESPN Boston that was just posted a little while ago of just how great Brady has been versus the Steelers, and I can't really explain it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, every time you hear about the Steelers defense and it's just, oh, this vaunted thing, and yet every time we see Brady go up there, I mean, it's just like Swiss cheese. I mean, Gronkowski last year, just wide open. I mean, I don't understand what happens when why the Steelers just can't figure it out. I wrote something, earlier this week of just saying, maybe it's time for Dick LeBeau to maybe change things up a little bit. Far be it from, you know, me to suggest that the legendary defensive coordinator is going to do something like that to try to change his scheme that has obviously worked so well. But at some point, they've got to do something, because what they're doing hasn't been working against Brady. It worked against Castle, who, you know, had a few interceptions back in 2008. But, you know, I don't know what they're going to do to stop him. I mean, I think it'll be a closer game than it was last year, but the Patriots should move the ball.
Yeah, I totally agree, and there's obviously a lot of points that we can touch on, but I think we're gonna go to a break right now, so we'll touch on those when we get back. Just to remind you all, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com, or you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery-fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Well, if you want to talk to Pete Shepherd, you're going to have to wait until next week, because he's actually out this week. This is Eric Friends from Bleacher Report and Cold Hard Football Facts, joined by Mike Dussault from PatsPropaganda.com, and we are talking Pats for another hour and 20 minutes. Couldn't ask for a better way to spend my Wednesday, So I guess we also have Kevin has joined us in studio, and Kevin would like to share with us the injury report.
So can I call you not Pete Shepherd?
Yeah, I guess that works.
Jeff Howe.
Yeah, that works.
Well, we have Dame Fletcher, who is obviously the only Patriot not present at practice. That was widely reported today around 1:15. Josh Barrett listed as limited with a thumb. Lee Bodden
limited with a thumb. Razai Dowling, limited with a hip. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, limited with that turf toe we were talking about. Albert Hainsworth, limited with his back. Gerard Mayo, limited with a knee. And Sebastian Vollmer, limited with that back problem that just won't seem to go away.
So the thumb problems persist in Foxborough.
A lot of thumbs, a lot of backs. It's unfortunate.
What was Fletcher?
Fletcher is listed with a thumb, and he did not participate in practice today.
Wow.
So he was the only one not out there, but they have quite a few bodies here that were listed as limited that, even with the bye week, are still pretty nicked up.
Any word on Gerard Mayo in there?
No, he is not mentioned in this at all. Oh, no, wait, let me see. He's listed as a knee.
A knee, okay. Yes. So do we take that as...
He's limited.
He's probably out, okay.
Yeah, I would say we would probably not see him.
Probably not see him, okay.
With Fletcher, was that a break that he had in the preseason, or was it just a bad thumb injury that keeps lingering?
I'm guessing he probably broke it. I mean, they're pretty easy. It seems to be going around that locker room. They all have the club every week they're out there, you see them running around with those things.
Yeah, well, Pat Chung.
Hitchhiking.
when you take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers here, they actually have a wide array of names that you're pretty familiar with that did not participate at all today in practice. James Harrison was a DNP with an eye. Chris Hoke, DNP with a neck. Doug Ligurski, Big Matt LePan's favorite lineman of all time there. He was a DMP with a toe. Hines Ward, DMP with an ankle. And, I'm going to butcher this. Jason Worlds, DMP with a quadricep. And James Ferrier was listed as limited with a calf. So they had one, two, three, four, five guys that didn't participate in practice today.
Interesting.
So both teams are pretty nicked up heading into the weekend.
Well, we got some emails here also we'd like to go through. Got one from... I'm probably going to butcher this. Lashana from Las Vegas says, hearing all this talk about the defense taking a step in the right direction, if you look at the score, held Dallas to 16 points. Has any team this year done that? Also, enough with what the Cowboys didn't do at the end of the game. What about the defense stopping the run? We cannot control whether or not another team has faith in their quarterback. Good point. If Garrett allows for more passing plays on that drive and they still didn't score, what would the argument be then? Or what if he threw an interception? Please give credit where it's due.
Don't bait us to talk about the defense. Because we will talk about the defense if you want us to.
And we can go on for another hour and 20 minutes about the defense.
For sure. I mean, I don't think it was that crazy what the Cowboys were doing. I mean, I can understand some people wanted to pass, but, I mean, look at Romo's history with passing in the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, and the Patriots do have some ball hawks back there. So, I'm first in line. I give all credit to the Patriots defense. That defensive performance against the Cowboys, outstanding. I mean, it's a kind of performance we haven't seen in a while where we needed a stop and we got a stop. And that, I think that was probably one of the biggest parts of, you know, what Belichick was saying last week about, you know, it's been a while since we've had one of those. As much as it's been a while since we've had a Tom Brady lead the team down the field and, you know, score the winning touchdown, I think the biggest part of that to me was the play of the defense. So absolutely, yeah, all credit to them. You know, that's me.
Yeah, definitely. And looking it up, she's absolutely right. The only team to even hold the Cowboys under 24 even was the Washington Redskins, who held them to 18 points. But, the Cowboys still won that game. So apparently they do not need to score 20 plus points to win every week. But yes, definitely worth.
Sorry. Just a quick point on it too is that, you know, and it wasn't one of those games like we had in 2010. Where it had to be necessitated by turnovers, you know, it wasn't, oh, they were driving and then we just got some lucky picks or some lucky fumbles. I mean, they had obviously the interception at the beginning of the game, but, you know, as we saw the 2010 team so reliant on interceptions and turnovers, and as we saw in the playoffs, when they didn't get those, they looked a whole lot worse. So, you know, that's another positive for the defense is that they won it on their actual, you know, down playing in the trenches, and, you know, obviously Spikes was just huge.
Definitely.
In the first couple plays on that last drive.
Yeah, and I think it's worth pointing out too that, you know, we talk about the defensive performance over the past 2 weeks. One important point to make, though, they've lost the turnover battle the past 2 weeks and still won those games. They lost it by one, I think, to the Jets, and also they lost it, I think, by two to the Cowboys. So this is a team that really last year, like you said, definitely rode their turnovers to wins more often than not. but this year proving that they can do it without turning the ball or without forcing those turnovers as they have done in the past. And it's just another one of those things we point to. You know, obviously they've run the gamut this season already in terms of how they're winning games. They've won blowouts. They've won shootouts. They've won grinded outs. They've won pretty much every way that you can possibly win. And they've only played six games. So I think that the fact that they were able to win those two games while losing the turnover battle, also to teams that that have a tendency to turn the ball over a lot, and that tends to be the reason they lose games. Definitely a lot of huge props deserved for that win. But getting to another email I got here from Dawn Summers, who I guess if you read her name backwards in the phone book, be Summer Dawn Simma Down now. What's the Patriots record coming off a bye week? Any concern they might be cold or out of sync and facing a hot Steelers team on the road? Good question. Their record, they've won 8 straight off a bye. So you could take that for what it's worth. They have not played the Steelers off a bye, but they're very good when they have extra time to prepare. And, definitely worth pointing out. Obviously, like I said, they haven't played the Steelers off a bye, but this season we're seeing a lot of teams coming off byes very cold. So that's a good point to make. I think that you know, the Cowboys came off their bye; they didn't look as good as they've looked this season. Other teams have also lost handily coming off of a bye. So, I mean, I'm not sure how concerned I am about them looking cold. I think that Belichick is good enough at instilling in them that they need to prepare for the next opponent, take that extra time, use it wisely, and really get ready for the next game. I don't think they're going to come out flat, but
has been beating that horse to death. They're given the statistics. I think NFL teams are 3-9 coming off the bye so far.
Well, there you go. So
it's definitely more than a trend at this point.
Yeah, and I think that that's worth pointing out. You know, 3-9 is obviously not very good coming off of a bye, and I would like to see though what the numbers are for other seasons, because I don't know if it's necessarily, it could be a byproduct of the lockout. I don't necessarily know, but
yeah, no, that's a good point. That might have something to do with it, because usually those teams, you know, those teams would use the bye as a week of rest and getting guys healthy, but there are probably still guys, especially the younger players, that are still learning systems and that spent the bye week still trying to catch up.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Ocho Cinco, probably one of those guys, though not as young.
Not as young as you would think.
Well, it's a good thing you were going to Pittsburgh. I think that has some prevention of coming out flat, because obviously tough place to play, tough opponent, AFC game. I mean, it could come down to playing for a bye this week. I mean, I don't want to put too much pressure on it, but it's a little bit different than if you're playing the Jaguars at home or something like that, I think.
Right, yeah, and I think that, you know, we talked about this because they might be playing for a bye this week, and I don't know necessarily that there are any teams left on the schedule apart from the Jets that are surefire, that are really games where I can see the Patriots needing to grind out a win. You know, the Steelers, the next three games is the Steelers, the Giants, and the Jets, and two of those three games are pretty tough opponents. Steelers and Jets. Giants have a tendency to, you know, come out flat at times, so we'll see how that one goes, especially since they'll be playing at Gillette Stadium. But Steelers and Jets, those are two road games against very tough teams, and there's still a lot of opportunities here for the Patriots to foul it up, but definitely, obviously they've looked so good in the first 6 weeks of the season, it'd be crazy to think that they won't look that good at some point or for the rest of the season. But when you have a team like the Steelers, you look at their next three games. We talked about this in the previous hour. Their next three games, it's at Patriots, it's Patriots, Ravens, and at Bengals. And Bengals, obviously, they look pretty good this season so far, but maybe also pretenders. But the Steelers could come out of this 3 week stretch. They could come out presumably 5-5. I mean, those are all three pretty. It's a toss up of how they'll come out of that stretch, but I would like to see, you know, where the Steelers stand after this, because you know they've looked pretty good so far, but it's been against some pretty bottom tier teams. I mean, their two losses came against the Ravens and the Texans, two very good teams this season.
Probably the two best teams they've played.
Definitely.
Lost to.
By far the best teams they've played this season they've lost to. And their five wins, pretty much the polar opposite. I mean, the Seahawks and the Colts, two of the worst teams in the league. The Titans, who are much worse than their record says they are. I think they're 3-3 right now.
Yep.
And they're definitely not an average team. I think they're below average. Also, they beat the Jaguars. We know that situation. And they beat the Cardinals. They're not beating up on these teams either. I mean, they beat the Jaguars 17-13. The Titans, they won in a blowout. The Cardinals, they won on the road by 12. And the Colts, they barely scraped that game away. I mean, that was at Indy, so you could give them that, but I mean that Indy team has looked abominable this season, so for them to barely win that game is just completely unacceptable.
Yeah, well, they do always play well at home, and I mean, but I have to say too, I mean, everybody who was penciling in the Patriots Ravens AFC Championship game last week, I mean, after how the Ravens looked on Monday Night Football, yikes!
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show you how hard it is to consistently win in the NFL, and no team is immune from it. And obviously, coming off of the lockout and all that, I mean, I thought even from the beginning of the season that this season would play well, the lockout would play well into the Patriots' hands. Because they have a system in place, they have veterans in place, other teams that are relying on younger guys, things like that. You know, it's really tough, and I think after this game against the Pittsburgh, you're going to have probably a pretty good sense of the Patriots. If they win, they're going to be the best team in the AFC at least, and, you know, pencil them in for Packers-Patriots Super Bowl over under 80 points. I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, that. I mean, if that did happen, that would definitely be a very high-scoring game. Just want to remind everybody, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com, or you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. I'm going to get to another email here. We have Emmanuel Chang says, "Hey, guys, awesome show so far. Got a question with the Patriots coming off their bye, facing a tough Steelers D this week. Do you believe the Pats will run the ball more with the lawmaker?" I assume he means the law firm.
Yes.
Although
he does lay down the law.
Well, I mean, you know, if he's imposing his will like he has the past 2 weeks, you could make a case he's the lawmaker, but anyway, with the lawmaker law firm to create short the sort of balance unlike last year when they faced the Steelers throwing the ball more. Thanks, Manny from Miami. I'll let you lead off on this one, Mike.
Well, I think that it definitely will be part of the game plan, given how the Steelers have struggled against the run this year. I think ultimately, though, how the Patriots are going to beat the Steelers is by spreading them out and passing the ball, similar to how we kind of saw last year. But obviously, I believe last year when we played Pittsburgh, they hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher, and Ben Jarvis ran all over them. So I think it's definitely going to be a big part of the game, and I hope that his toe injury is better and is not going to limit him in any way. But obviously the Patriots have, what, five running backs now, or if Kevin Faulkner is activated, we're not sure if that'll happen. But they do have some options, but I would expect, yes. I mean, I'm really a big fantasy football guy, but I do have Ben Jarvis, the lawmaker, on my team, and I would say he's probably a pretty good start this week, especially if the Patriots get a lead.
I got him on two teams, but I'm just still worried about that toe.
Yeah.
It's just a nagging injury for a back, and he's pounding on it all the time. I have some reservations about him.
And what I'm hearing too is that Casey Hampton's back,
yep.
So that could be pretty big in determining, you know, how that battle of the trenches works out. I know obviously Dan Connolly has played just about as well as you could expect any backup center to play at this point in the season, but Casey Hampton's no small bones. I mean, obviously he's huge, so no small anything there. But the Patriots, yeah, last year, you're absolutely right, Mike. The Steelers did not give up a 100-yard rusher until they played the Patriots. They did not give up a 100-yard rusher in that game. They gave up 100 yards total on the ground. Benny had 18 carries for 87 yards. So a pretty decent average against a very good Steelers run defense last year. I think they ranked first in the league.
Yeah.
Last year, so definitely they were able to have their way,
this year.
Both through the air and on the ground. So there's a possibility there that that Ben Jarvis could have a pretty solid game this week. And I don't think that it'll be one of those things where he has to have over 100 yards for them to win this game. I think that we've seen the Patriots win games against the Steelers where they've primarily come out of spread sets, and that's been more recently than I can remember, I mean, in the past, but definitely I think that the two tight ends are going to be just the biggest possible factor in this game. Those guys, they don't really have an answer for them in terms of the matchups. It's just not in the cards for them. I mean, their outside linebackers are primarily pass rush guys anyway. And it's not just about, you know, the physical talent of Gronkowski and Hernandez like it was last year. This year, you know, those guys are really, they're playing football. They know the game. They're playing within the system very well. They're doing the things they're being asked to do. And I think that obviously Gronkowski could have much better receiving numbers if he wasn't such a good blocking tight end. But I think that's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah, I think that one of the areas you got to try to exploit is, you know, by James Harrison being out, they now have Foot and Ferrier there on the inside. And I mean, that's, you know, talk about your old and slow guys. I mean, that's it. And, you know, if they can exploit those guys in the middle of the field with the speed of Hernandez and Gronkowski, that's going to be a good area for the Patriots to try to attack. You know, the Steelers are a little bit banged up. Is James Harrison, is he coming back? I don't know. I know he was out last week. He's got an eye injury. I'm a little out of the loop on things not Patriots, but I don't know. Do you know?
I do not, but maybe Tyron in Delaware knows. He's been waiting for a few minutes, so we'll bring him on. Tyron, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hello?
Hey.
Yeah, how you guys doing? Doing a fine job for my man, Pete.
Thank you, appreciate it. How you doing, Tyron?
All right. Yeah, I'm still a little concerned, you know what I'm saying, as far as, you know, them tight ends, hey, you was just talking about those tight ends. Yeah, they start. But, you know, I just feel that, you know, especially since I saw how the Jets played the Chargers Sunday, that they hold the Chargers to 20 points. I think that the Chargers didn't score another point after the half.
That's what happens when we try to take two phone calls at once, I guess.
I guess so. we'll be all apologies to Tyron in Delaware, but... But yeah, I totally, you know, it's interesting to me because the Chargers definitely, you know, they're another one of those teams that is very talented across the board, and for whatever reason, they find ways to lose games. And whether it's throwing late interceptions or fumbles, whatever, it's you try and pin it down to one or two things that they're not doing or one or two things they need to improve on. You just can't do it. It's every week. It seems like it's something else. And I really can't attribute it to any one thing. Rivers is a great quarterback. I don't know what's going on with him this year, but it's 7 touchdowns and 9 versus 9 interceptions is not something that we have come to expect from him. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned about a team like the Chargers. I think that that's a team that the Patriots can really handle well because they're a team that, you know, if you just play, you just play 4 quarters of football and you don't shoot yourselves in the foot, you'll get those mistakes out of them at some point. It's just a matter of where they are and when, and can you capitalize?
I think one of the problems too with the Chargers is that they're so one dimensional in their passing game. I mean, they just have Malcolm Floyd and they have Vincent Jackson who are, you know, big outside receivers. They don't have the Welker type. They don't have the quick inside slot guy who can move the chains for them. I mean, they've been so reliant on Antonio Gates over the years and what he can do. And as we saw when the Patriots took him away, granted, they did give up some passing yards, we know that. But, you know, they were prone to mistakes and forced the Rivers into making bad decisions. And, I mean, obviously the Patriots having ended the season of the Chargers in both 06 and 07, which is probably the height of their power. I mean, we all saw the quote last week with Rex Ryan saying, I think I would have had a couple championships if I had had that team. And I remember reading how A.J. Smith was just obsessed with the Patriots and obsessed with, you know, that's the team that they had to build. And, you know, so we're seeing now the result of that, which, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, I want to say there's a direct corollary, but if you look at in 06, 07 when the Patriots were winning with Asante and Ellis Hobbs on the outside, if you look at Malcolm Floyd and Vincent Jackson, how they would have matched up on those receivers, that's a good matchup for the Chargers. But, you know, obviously the Patriots are no longer doing that. And as we said, just over reliance on Antonio Gates, and it got stale. They're going to have to do some serious work in the offseason if they want to, you know, stay as one of the top teams in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at what the Patriots were able to do to the Chargers, I think that that applies pretty well to what they'll be facing against against the Steelers, because, you know, obviously you have Vincent Jackson was a great deep threat, Mike Wallace in the similar ilk there, and you know, obviously the big, as we talked about previously, the big factor there was shutting down Antonio Gates. This week the Patriots got up against Heath Miller, another great tight end. So I guess how do we take this and apply it to the Steelers? Well, Mike Wallace isn't going to run the entire route tree on you. I mean, he's not just a go route guy. We heard Belichick talk about this in the press conference. He's not just a go route guy. He is very solid at running other routes, like underneath, but he's not going to run the entire tree on you. And I think that by doubling him over the top, that is essentially what the Steelers really want to do overall, because, you know, obviously that's their best offensive threat, and he's averaging 20 yards a reception, and just even throwing the ball his direction is cause for concern. But I think that when you look at it from an overall perspective, if you just look at Mike Wallace and what he's doing this year, it hasn't been as diversified as guys like Vincent Jackson, who are so good at running the entire tree and who are very sound at using their body and their physicality to make hard receptions. Wallace, you know, he's 6'6" flat, 180. So he's not exactly, you know, your big physical guy like Jackson. A little bit easier to get him off the line, and that's what Patriots corners tend to do better than they do other things anyway. They're much more press heavy cornerbacks, like the jam guys off the line. So Wallace could find himself the victim of a pretty tough day, but it'll be a combined effort for sure. They're gonna want to double him, bracket him, take him away, do whatever they can to get him off. But I think it's a little bit easier to do that than against a guy like, say, Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, he's obviously a huge part of their offense. And having watched a little of the Steelers' last couple games, I mean, his ability to get deep and burn guys, I mean, it's he's got that speed that you have to be aware of at all times. You know, one of the other big keys, I think, and it obviously is well talked about with Roethlisberger, is finishing him when you get him, when you get your arms around him, getting him to the ground. Because, I mean, honestly, I think the reason the Steelers were able to beat the Jets last year and the Patriots weren't were because of Big Ben's ability to make a play with his feet when the Jets would drop eight guys in coverage. You know, Brady not going to make that play, going to try to take his time, wait for somebody to get open. Big Ben, if you try to drop eight guys, you leave a little bit of a cushion, he's going to run for that first down. And, I mean, that was just such a huge part in last year's AFC Championship game. So I'm sure that, I guess they were in full pads today out there in Gillette Stadium. You guys probably are more aware of that than I am. But, you know, it's got to be a huge part. It's going to be a physical battle. And the guys like Andre Carter and Ninkovich and Mark Anderson, when they get to Big Ben, they got to wrap him up, and then you got to get the rest of the Patriots defense to help tackle him, because you can't allow him to make plays with his feet, because he will burn you.
Absolutely. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com, or you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, and we're here for another hour. So we got a lot more stuff to talk about here, and obviously with this big game coming up, you know, this is, the Patriots like to take it one week at a time, and this is a really big obstacle in front of them. But wanted to kind of get your sense about, you know, what the outlook is for the rest of the season. I mean, there are not a lot of tough opponents, but a lot of interesting opponents remaining on the schedule. And I mean, I think you look first at obviously the Steelers and Jets road games; those are the nearest on the schedule. But they play at Philadelphia. They host Kansas City on Monday night, and you know the Chiefs looked pretty bad to start the season, but have definitely turned it around. They play at Washington, which I would expect to be a huge game for Albert Haynesworth. And they play at Denver, which also hasn't been a very good team, but we know the Patriots have struggled mightily at Denver. So kind of get your thoughts on, you know, some of the remaining opponents this season, and, you know, where you think the Patriots have the most concern.
Yeah, it's certain when the schedule came out, you didn't expect there to be as many cream puffs towards the end of the year as there are going to be. And, I mean, who knows if that last Bills game is going to mean anything? I mean,
yeah, definitely.
You know, after they beat us, I know everyone just assumed, all right, well, the Bills up, then, you know, that game's going to be for the AFC East. Who knows what the Bills are going to do between now and then. But if you throw that one kind of out the window as, you know, going one way or the other, yeah, I mean, it really, it's Pittsburgh and the Jets are the number one focus that you have to look at in terms of winning the AFC East and obviously getting a high seed in the AFC Conference. But I think that there's a good cross-section of opponents. You know, I think as we learned in 2007 when we went undefeated is that a loss can be a good thing. You need to be able to take a loss, regroup, see what you're not doing so well, and you know, kind of get knocked off your pedestal a little bit. Not to say that the Patriots were on a pedestal, but it was such a grind for them. And it's when you look back at that season, you say, geez, you know, if they had just lost this game or that game near the end of the season, some of the pressure would have been taken off. They would have learned a little bit something more about themselves offensively and defensively. So I think that all Patriots fans should, you know, look at the regular season a little bit more willing to accept losses. So I think that the Patriots are going to be challenged, and I think that, as I spoke about earlier, especially with a young defense, you want to be able to go into these places and really challenge your team in tough environments, because when you get to the playoffs, when you get to the Super Bowl, you're going to be on a big stage. All the lights are going to be on you. That's why, you know, last year when the Patriots went into Pittsburgh and won that game, I mean, that really gave me a lot of confidence in thinking, you know, they might be able to win these big games and go in and, you know, take out good teams on the road or, you know, in hostile environments. So I think that Philadelphia game is going to be an interesting one. But you look at the final coming down the stretch, and you've got, you know, at Denver, which, you know, we've obviously housed the nightmares for the Patriots there over the years, you know, throwing out the safety that they took on purpose. But, you know, obviously it'd be nice to get a win there, maybe cure some demons a little bit. But, you know, Denver, Kansas City, which will be an interesting game, but who knows how that's going to go by that time, if Todd Haley's even going to still be the coach. But it's an interesting setup in terms of especially coming down the stretch where they're going to play some teams that probably aren't quite that good.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, obviously a lot of stuff to talk about here, but we are going to take a really quick break here for a few minutes. Just to remind everybody, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You can also tweet us. Mike is at Pat's Propaganda. That's PROPAGANDA. And I am at Eric Frenz, ERIKFRENZ. We look forward to talking to you guys in a few minutes.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
I, you,
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hello, everyone. Once again, Pete Shepherd is not in today. I am Eric Frenz from Bleacher Report and Cold Hard Football Facts, and joining me is Mike Dussault from PatsPropaganda.com. And real quick, we're just gonna go to the Bill Belichick press conference today. He spoke earlier today at the podium and gave some thoughts on the Steelers game this weekend. So let's give it a listen.
Okay, well, it feels like we're back in the division again. You know, Steelers had a lot of chance to look at them here over the last few days. Got to jump on them last week, and they look good as usual, well coached, good in all three phases of the game, real explosive team, can score from literally anywhere on the field on defense with their strip sacks and turnovers, and offensively and in the kicking game with their explosive skill players. Their backs have had long runs, their receivers have had long passes. Obviously, particularly Wallace. They've had big plays in the return game. So, you know, they're a real solid team, well coached, good players, and, you know, it's always a tough team to play. So, we got a lot of work to do here. Got a good start on them yesterday, and then we'll try to build on that here through the next 3 days.
What are some commonalities to Mike Tomlin coach teams? I know you talked just about a few things, but are they pretty consistent over the course of this?
Yeah, they don't make many mistakes. You got to go in there and play a good football game and beat them. They don't beat themselves very often. They make a lot of good plays and not too many bad ones. So you really got to take advantage of if they make a mistake, and you've got to create with good execution on your side. You've got to create your own opportunities. and they have a very experienced group of players that, you know, they've pretty much seen everything that they're gonna see, both big games, situations, schemes. They're well coached, so they're. I'm saying it with the, you know, not just Mike, but the coordinators, you know, in the kicking game, offensively, defensively, they know what they're doing. You know, they don't get fooled very often.
Sure, two parts, but is it safe to say they don't change much year to year from what they do defensively?
Yeah, I'd say that. And why should they? They lead league in defense every year.
I was going to ask, you know, Brady's had a lot of success against the Steelers' defense throughout the course of his career. But what is it you see that he does well against them, and is it fair to say that's a good predictor for the future since they don't change much in these guys?
Well, you know, we've had our moments against them. They've had their moments against us, so. Look, they're a good football team. They give everybody problems. You know, we'll go up there and compete against them, and hopefully we'll be able to give them some problems. But they do a good job, and they've been very successful through the years in winning championships, winning games. Statistically, I mean, however you want to measure it, you know, this is one of the top organizations and top football teams in the National Football League, year in and year out. So.
Hey Bill, Troy Polamalu obviously is a great, great player. But players like that, as they gain even more experience, do they become even more dangerous because of the mental acumen that they gain?
I think that's fair. He's very dangerous. He's a impact player, very disruptive player defensively. He fouls up a lot of things, blitzing, pass coverage, tackling. He's a hard hitter, knocks balls loose, but he's around the ball a lot. He's fast. Times it looks like he might be a little out of position, or maybe it's not even his play to make, but he just has the speed and the anticipation to get this to a point on the field where the play is. Again, whether that's actually his responsibility or not, you know, he just can kind of feel it coming and anticipate it, and his awareness is outstanding. And he's got tremendous speed and burst and hitting ability, so that he can get there in a hurry. And when he gets there, he can do a lot of damage. So you got to be aware of him on every snap.
Does their defense, I don't want to say change, but look different with Simmons on the outside as opposed to inside?
Yeah, they've had a lot of players out there going back to Gildan and Kevin Green and Lloyd, and I mean, you go right down the line, Woodley, Harrison. It always looks good. I don't care who they put out there. They look productive. I mean, Timmons can really run, fast guy, but you know, much taller than Harrison, longer. But I mean, Harrison's a tremendous player. I'm not saying that, but you know, Timmons has a lot of strengths too. His speed, his pass rushing abilities, coverage ability. You know, which he made a lot of plays for him inside with Ferrier, so. You know, he played there, really played there in college, so at the end of the line. So I don't think that's totally unfamiliar to him. So, yeah, he looks, you know, they all look good.
Bill, what did you think of Marcus Cannon out there yesterday? First, from a football standpoint, and also just a personal standpoint.
I mean, it's great to have him out there. Yeah, personally, sure, you'd love to see every player get back out there and do what they want to do and what they worked hard to do. You know, first practice, I mean, he's got a long way to go, but it was good to have him back out there. You know, just take it day by day.
I know you talked about Wallace the other day, but he goes deep a lot. But everyone knows that he's gonna go deep. I mean, he's gonna get a 95-yard catch or whatever. It seemed they were protecting against the deep pass, and he still gets deep.
Well, they didn't protect against it very well.
How does that keep happening?
If you make a mistake, they got players to take advantage of it. I mean, whether it's him or Sanders or Brown or Heinz Ward or Miller, Mendenhall, Dwyer, Redmond, I mean, go right down the line. You know, they got guys making big plays at every position, the quarterback. And if you don't do a good job, then I mean, you say that about Roethlisberger. You know, well, we know he can scramble. Well, he made a big play scrambling. Well, how did that happen? I mean, he still makes them. Wallace makes big plays. Mendenhall makes long runs. Miller catches. You know, Hines Ward catches over routes, breaks tackles. I mean, you know, they do all the things they do. They got a lot of good players. But, you know, I mean, you know, Wallace runs a lot of stuff. He's got deep routes now, too. You know, he runs a lot of stuff in front of the defenders because they're playing him deep. They run a lot of crossing patterns where if he catches the ball, he just runs away from the defense. So, it's not all go routes. I mean, he runs his share of those, but, I mean, he does a lot of other things, too.
All right, that was Bill Belichick this afternoon speaking to the media about the upcoming game against the Steelers. A lot of interesting things to take away from just that little segment there. Belichick leads in by saying that they're back in the division again. I think that the familiarity between the two teams is definitely worth note. Seems like they play each other every year, even though they're not in the same division. Another one of those teams, a lot like the Colts, where, you know, for whatever reason, because the Patriots end up winning their division and the Steelers win theirs, or however it works out, the Patriots just end up playing the Steelers by default pretty much every year. So a lot of familiarity between these two teams, and I think that that might actually play more into New England's advantage because of something Belichick said later, where he said that they don't change much year to year what they do defensively. And my key takeaway from that is that Brady has really taken what he wants from them every week, every time he plays them, basically. And it's interesting because when you have a defense that's so talented, yet for whatever reason, Brady just owns them. And I think it's worth pointing out that because they don't change so much schematically year to year, I mean, they're still successful across the league. It's just when they play the Patriots, they end up getting exposed for whatever reason. So Mike, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it starts with Belichick. I mean, any time a football team is going to run the same scheme and basically do what they do and try to beat teams, he kind of has cracked the code. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that his team's going to be able, the Patriots are going to be able to execute it every time they play.
That's a good point.
We have seen most of the time they've been able to execute it. It's almost not to this level, but it's kind of similar to the way I feel about the Raiders, who, you know, man coverage, do the same thing, simple defense. I mean, it's, when the Patriots know what they have to do to go in and win the game, and it's very simple. I mean, I guarantee you that the talking points of what they need to do as a team to beat the Steelers has not changed very much over the last 10 years. When they know what they have to do, they can go out and do it. And so it's just really, I think this game is going to come down to execution. And if the Patriots can execute their game plan and execute the things that Coach Belichick is telling them this week, then they should win. You know, it's there's not a lot of complexity, and that's kind of why I said earlier, you know, the Jets and the Ryan defense is how they kind of go into these amoeba looks where, you know, they try to confuse Brady. I mean, Mangini has said it. The Ryans have said it. I love this quote from Mangini about Brady. He said, if he knows, it goes. You have to confuse him. And so, you know, I don't know how much of, you know, elements of disguise that the Steelers really incorporate. I mean, I know we have, obviously, the infamous Dick LeBeau zone blitz that they use, but it doesn't seem like it's given Brady much problems in the past. So I think it's just going to come down to execution. They know what they have to do. They just are going to have to go out there and do it.
Absolutely, and I think that when you look at the games the Patriots lose, it always does come down to execution. Whenever they lose, it's basically because they just didn't execute. I mean, even their loss to the Bills this season was because Brady, you know, he said it after that game. You know, some weeks it's a touchdown, some weeks it's an interception, and you know, when he just misses throws like that, it's, you know, that's just another example of, you know, obviously, and in the playoff loss to the Jets, we go back to this one a lot because that's a game where everybody wants to point out the third down defense as the reason that they didn't win that game. When really, I mean, you point out the Algie Crumpler dropped touchdown, the Patrick Chung, Fubar missed up punt return, whatever that was. I don't even know what it was. It was a fake punt. Yes, thank you. When they met, it's just things like that, that, you know, those two plays right there, if those don't happen, who knows how the game goes. And like you said, I mean, it's all about execution, and it's all about, you know, getting everything to work and, making sure that, you know, you don't blow it. And it's like we were talking about with the with Brady basically owning the Steelers defense. You know, it's they try when teams are able to beat Brady, it's because they're able to confuse him. And the Steelers are generally a line up and go defense. They really take pride in what they do, and they do it very well, but they do the same thing. It's very cut and dry, and, you know, it's always the pressure from the outside. The middle linebackers generally drop. Sometimes they send a zone blitz, but it's generally, I mean, they run a lot of different things, but it's very similar from week to week what you're going to get from them. They just happen to be very good at it. So you know, it's interesting to point out, at least, that you know they're very versed in beating the Steelers, but also he says that they don't make a lot of mistakes, that you have to beat them. And I think that also is another one of those things where, you know, the Patriots, like I said earlier, they've won two consecutive games where they lost the turnover battle. So, you know, just because the Steelers don't give away the game doesn't mean that this is one where the Patriots could lose if they don't generate those turnovers. And
yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, the interesting thing to me is that the Patriots have torched the Steelers with each incarnation of the Belichick Patriots offense. They did it in 2004 when it was Givens and Branch and Corey Dillon. They did it in 2007 when we had Moss and Welker, and they did it last year when we had Welker and Branch and the tight end. So, I mean, no matter what phase the Patriots offense has kind of been in, they've been able to beat them, you know. And, I mean, I'll granted, Those are three really quite different offenses. And I mean, I think the thing you're going to see a lot of, and that we've seen in the past, is I posted a video earlier this week of probably, I would say, I don't know, maybe we can debate this a little bit. The greatest play of the 2007 offense, was it the Brady to Moss, the Brady to Gaffney bomb touchdown?
I would agree with
this.
Probably.
I mean, you know, obviously you can say that the 50th touchdown was nice and memorable and all that. But, I mean, in terms of just ridiculousness, that probably summed it up better than anything. And I have to say, I was there at Foxborough in the last row of the stadium, so I got a nice bird's-eye view of that whole thing developing. You just see Gaffney with a beeline going for going deep. But, anyway, you know, it doesn't matter, like, what they've done well in terms of, you know, when they had Moss and Welker, or, you know, when they had Branch and they were kind of a power running team that would pass it when they needed to, and now when they're kind of this horizontal attack and a lot of short passes and, you know, using the tight end. So, I think there's going to be some trickeration, if you will. I think you're going to see some misdirection. I mean, when you have an aggressive defense like this that likes to really over pursue and get everybody in on the tackle, and, you know, I think, I'm not sure where, what Belichick's soundbite it was. It might have been on sound effects or something on NFL Network, but you're touching on the point of, you know, with the Steelers, when you let them get going, when you get, you know, they start making big plays and they're all getting jacked up, and, you know, when the machine starts to run for the Steelers, that's when they start to play well. And what you have to do is you have to, A, take advantage of their aggressiveness with misdirection, screen passes, trick plays, things like that, but you can't let them get running. You have to go out there, you have to play tough from the beginning and establish that they're going to be in for a dogfight, and they're not going to be able to, you know, do all the things that they want to do and be the aggressive defense that they want to. You got to fight aggression with aggression, and I think that that's what the Patriots have excelled at, regardless of their personnel on offense.
Yeah, and that kind of leads nicely into a question I got on Twitter from Tom Watson Pats. Thanks for hitting us up, Tom. But he asked us if we think the Pats are going to use five wide sets to spread out the Steelers deep. I think that's absolutely what they're going to do. I don't think that that's going to be a every down basis, but I think that when you're playing a team like the Steelers, they want to play the field vertically. They want to send their rushers downfield, and they want to be able to do that to you. But if you're running five wide and you're stretching them out horizontally across the field, making them defend the field sideline to sideline, that kind of nullifies what they want to do with their pass rush, because there's so many receivers out there that Brady's going to find somebody open He's a master of exposing blitzes, and that's exactly what he did for that entire game-winning drive against the Cowboys. It was basically one after another. He found the weakness from the blitz. He exploited that weakness and moved the ball. And it was one play after another. It was a string of that. So I think absolutely, this is a game where you could see a bit more five wide sets than what we've seen from the Patriots so far this season. I still think that it won't necessarily be five true wide receivers. I think you'll see Gronkowski and Hernandez in there in those five wide sets as receivers. And, you know, obviously they'll get them going. Those guys are just, like I said, they're going to be huge in this game. The matchup problem that those guys present for the Steelers defense is probably going to be the difference maker. And I don't want to harp on this too much, but I really think that it's going to come down to the matchups between the Patriots tight ends and the Steelers linebackers.
Yeah, I mean, the, as we said earlier, I mean, the tight ends are what make this offense so difficult to defend. And I mean, yeah, it has been talked about a lot. And I mean, to pull Gronkowski and Hernandez out and, you know, put in Taylor Price and put in Ocho Cinco and, I don't know who's the, and Slater. I mean, you know, it's not taking advantage of your best personnel. It's not taking advantage of the ability to run or pass out of the set. You put five wide receivers out there. Guess what? We're passing on that down, you know? So I think that there'll be some balance. I think that what we'll really see is we'll see maybe some four receiver sets. You'll see Gronk in line, you know, a little bit more of that. But it's hard to say. I mean, really, I think that they're going to spread them out, but I think it's still going to revolve around Hernandez and Gronkowski, even if you're splitting Hernandez out wide, you know, basically as a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I don't necessarily think that it's good. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be five wides all the time. I think you bring up a great point about keeping an extra extra tight end in there to chip the linebacker if they send a pass rush. So I think that like you said, it's going to be a mix. They really don't want to be too pass heavy against these guys. Obviously, Brady's had his way against them, but it's not. You're lending yourself to being way too predictable if you're coming out in five wides all the time. Like you said, it's a pass play. There's no way around it. So if you have a situation where you're able to mix it up a bit, you gotta be able to do that. You have to be able to you know, hand the ball off to Green Ellis or to Ridley or to Woodhead and, you know, do different things, screen passes to backs out of the backfield and things like that. Just keep them on their heels. And I don't think that it has to be a perfect 50-50 balance of pass to run. It really never is with the Patriots anyway. They usually tend to throw the ball a bit more. But I definitely think that this is one of those games, especially against a Steelers run defense that has been a little bit weaker than we're used to seeing them at this point in the season. It's definitely a weakness that needs to be exploited a little bit.
I'll tell you, I mean, I almost go the other way, and, you know, I'm crossing my fingers that Sebastian Vollmer is back, because if you're going to be able to, I mean, it makes sense now. You know, I know in the preseason we were kind of looking at these rookie tight ends that they had with Will Yeatman and Lee Smith, who they drafted, and, you know, it was a big topic of debate of, you know, are they going to keep these guys? Yeatman looked really good, and, you know, what do? They end up letting both of them go to division rivals nonetheless. But if you get Vollmer back, what's the difference between putting Vollmer and Solder out there if you just need a blocking tight end? I mean, Solder's bigger than both those guys, you know? So, I mean, I'd love to see Vollmer back this week, even if it is just at a third tackle, because you're going to have the ability to really exploit that run defense that hasn't been as strong as it has been in the past. And with the way that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis runs, I mean, that's a power football team. That's a hard football team to defend, especially with Welker and Branch, who are able to get open so quick on the play action. So, you know, I'd almost go the other way and say, I think that would be ideal to have that tool in the toolbox this weekend of being able to go out with Vollmer and Solder lined up on that right, and then Gronkowski. I mean, those three guys lined up next to each other. I mean, I know Pittsburgh's physical, but come on, those guys are. I think as we said in the offseason, this is like the new offensive line. It's like the monster squad. These guys are all enormous. I mean, obviously Marcus Cannon comes back, who's like, you know, 6'5", 350. I mean, they're just huge men. So I'd love to see the Patriots be able to really take advantage of that physical ground game, much more so than trying to expose the you know, spread passing attack that we, you know, saw in 2007.
Absolutely. And I guess right now we're gonna take another call. Derek Derek, I believe it's Derek Havens from the University of Arizona is joining us. So we're going to try and pick you up and not lose Mike. We're keeping our fingers crossed here. So, Derek, how's it going?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing pretty good. Mike, you there?
I'm here.
Fantastic. Awesome. Round of applause, everybody. We did it. We did it. Hooray!
Good talking to you guys. Great show so far.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You guys brought up a lot of interesting points. Really, just the two things I wanted to just kind of throw my two cents on is I think you're definitely right. Offensively for the Patriots, it's going to be about utilizing the tight ends, you know, Gronkowski and Hernandez, and, you know, kind of spreading them out and also using them to chip. And then defensively, the thing that worries me the most about the game overall is the fact that the Patriots have allowed 37 plays of 20-plus yards or more, and Mike Wallace has 11 plays with 20 yards or more just receiving. Actually, if you figure it'd be more, actually, he has 6 of 40 yards or more. And so my biggest concern is Mike Wallace's big play ability and the Patriots' defense, you know, lack of ability to stop big plays.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and that was the way it was in the beginning. Sorry to cut you off, Derek. Thanks for calling in. We couldn't deal with the echo there. Sorry about that, Derek, but thanks for calling in. Definitely, you bring up a lot of good points. I think Mike Wallace definitely is a guy that, you know, he's not gonna get the ball a whole lot, but when he does, it's probably gonna be for a big play, and Patriots haven't really done a very great job of stopping those up until the past couple of weeks. So I think that definitely does present some problems for them on defense. But like I said, it's going to be one of those situations where they're going to bracket him. They're not going to let him beat them deep. And another picked up piece that we got from the audio of the Belichick press conference earlier was, you know, I think it was Ian Rappaport asks, he says, everybody knows Wallace is going deep, even if they protect against it. And then Belichick interrupts him and says, well, they didn't protect against it well if they let it happen. So I think that, you know, it's one of those things where you get him isolated, you take him out of the game, at least on the deep ball, and you let him have whatever he wants underneath. And you just, I mean, I don't want to say that you're living on a prayer here, but you got to hope that you can tackle and that you don't have the lapses like you did last week against
Dallas. I
got to
go with living on a prayer.
Thanks, baby.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that, you know, it's well documented how many pass plays the Patriots have given up over 20 yards, and it's definitely one of those, you know, statistical weaknesses that we've looked at. And I'm of the opinion that bring it on. You know, like, I want to face teams that do what we don't do well so that we can prove that we can do it. And, you know, for a team growth point, you know, if we can go out there and hold Mike Wallace with no receptions over 20 yards, it's going to be a great building moment for this defense. So I'm all for taking it head on. I think it's really going to come down to, I mean, obviously, every time the game starts, I don't know if everybody's like this, but I usually just, like, real quick pause and just see, like, who's where, what's going on. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if they put McCourty on him, because that's your matchup. I mean, he, in theory, coming in the season was our best corner. Merrington might be the best corner now. But is he going to be able to redeem himself, and is he going to be able to take on a receiver, a number one wide receiver? Because if you look at, you know, Football Outsiders comes out with these rankings of how the team does versus each type of wide receiver. The Patriots right now, they have them last in the league against number one wide receivers. So it's time to prove that they can not only shut down a number one receiver, but hold them to no passes over 20 yards. So it'll be a challenge, and it's going to be fun to watch.
What do you know? Another stat where the Patriots are last in the league on defense.
Boom.
I know, right? All right, well, we're taking our last break here. It is 5:37, so that means it's break time. Once again, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studio.
I knew you had it in you.
Inside Gillette Stadium. Thank you, Kevin, and we will be back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee? And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Hello, everyone. We are here for 17 more minutes. As you can tell from the boyish sound of my voice, this is not Pete Shepherd. This is Eric Friends from Bleacher Report and ColdHardFootballFacts.com, joined by my podcast co-host, Mike Dussault. Mike, we're here for 15 more minutes.
Yes.
We got a couple of things left we want to talk about.
Is he asleep on you?
I guess so. I don't know. I was trying to lead you in to give you a little opportunity to talk about something you wanted to talk about.
You know
but
what
I
he's
guess
doing? He's watching some BB Jones.
Oh man! Oh man! That BB Jones. She's something else. But we don't want to touch. We don't want to touch on. Oh man! No, brown chicka brown cow. We didn't want to. We didn't want to touch on BB. We wanted to touch on GB, the Green Bay Packers. They are undefeated. And this is an interesting story because the Patriots were the last team to go undefeated in the regular season. And they actually, it looks like the Packers, have a pretty legit shot at finishing the season 16-0. Right now they're sitting pretty at 7-0. They have yet to play the Lions at all. This is important to point out. But they head into the bye week with 7 wins. They go at San Diego, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, at Detroit, at New York Giants, Oakland Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs, Chicago Bears, and Detroit Lions to close out the season. So, a couple of tough games in there, but not anything where, you could say that this team definitely won't go undefeated. Mike, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think the Green Bay is a really interesting kind of mirror image of the Patriots and what they're doing right now. And it seems like a lot of times when people bring up how the Patriots are doing and, some of their weaknesses, it's, well, Green Bay's defense stinks too. They haven't looked dominant. They definitely have some talent there and the much needed pass rusher and Clay Matthews.
Well, it's also fair to point out too, they just have a higher level of talent across the board. They're just underachieving incredibly well this year.
Yeah, I mean, the question for me is do they want to go undefeated? I mean, it's an interesting thing to think about in terms of do they have the, how you say, balls to go for it? the Patriots did, and say what you will about the Patriots in 2007 and how it ended, but I mean, that team had the balls to go to basically become within 2 minutes of being the undisputed greatest team of all time, and granted, it fell apart, and we know why. But you look at a team like the Colts who, mailed it in, decided, we're going to rest our starters, that kind of thing. So I think it's going to be interesting. And as a Patriots Uber blogger, I kind of don't want them to go 16-0, obviously. But it's an interesting thing in terms of the Patriots having been there, having done that. Do the Packers really, are they going to go for it? Would they go for it if they had the chance to? And then the other thing I just think is interesting is like, how great would the Super Bowl be if it was the Patriots versus the Packers? I mean, what offensive fireworks we would see. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just, he's just playing lights out right now. So I'm really intrigued by Green Bay for a lot of reasons, and I think that they're just a really fascinating, somewhat mirror image, younger version of the Patriots. And I personally, obviously I'd love to go to the Super Bowl, but that it would just be an amazing, amazing Super Bowl matchup that I think a lot of fans would love to see.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you look at what the Packers have done this season, and Brady's season in 07 notwithstanding, this is probably one of the best seasons I've ever seen from a quarterback in my lifetime. And to put up 100 passer rating or over in 7 straight games to start the season, that's just unprecedented. I don't care what the defenses have looked like for the first 7 weeks of the season. The fact that Rodgers is playing the way he is, he's projected at this stage of the season for 46 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And that, to me, that says a lot to me about where this guy is at on, like, what level he's playing on. 125 passer rating. If he keeps that up, that would be the record by at least 14 points. So.
Still not 50 touchdowns, though.
Still not 50 touchdowns. Brady hangs on to that one by a slim margin. That's, of course, if Rodgers stays on this pace. But, Obviously, there are a couple of tough teams in there that they play. They play the Lions a couple
Everyone
times.
Everyone sucks but me.
That's true. Everyone sucks but Brady. They play, you know, they got the Lions on the road and at home. Those are obviously going to be their two toughest games, I think, left on the schedule. I don't think any team left on their schedule is going to give them as much of a challenge as the Lions will. And I think it starts up front. But I think it is even more so with what the Lions are able to do on offense. Cause they're such an explosive offense that they might actually have the ability to keep pace with the Packers. I know it hasn't looked very good for the Lions over the past couple weeks, but they have the firepower with Megatron, with the way Matthew Stafford played in the first few weeks of the season, and that running game was a good complement for their passing game. I think they have the firepower to keep up with the Packers.
Yeah, I know everybody was on the Lions bandwagon, and it's a nice story and everything, but I'm not quite pushing all my chips in on them just yet. I mean, it remains to be seen if they're going to be able to keep it up. I mean, they're a dome team. Are they going to be able to win on the road and those things? But, I mean, it's definitely an interesting matchup, and obviously I'm pulling for the Lions when they play the Packers. But, I mean, if I watch a little bit of the Minnesota game, I mean, Minnesota, not the greatest team. They hung in there for a bit. I mean, it wasn't a total domination. If it wasn't for a couple picks by blanking on the rookie quarterback's name that started for the first time. But, I mean, you know, they had a game plan, and obviously they had Adrian Peterson, and they were able to move the ball a little bit. I mean, I don't see the Packers. I mean, I guess it's like the Patriots were in 2007, where they just kind of kept squeaking out wins, and you never thought that they were, like, the greatest team, but somehow they just had that magic, and they had the fire of Spygate perhaps burning and, you know, helping them, wanting to, like, you know, just annihilate the league. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't think that the Packers are unbeatable, but what I do know is that the Patriots have the offensive tools to play whatever kind of game they would need to beat the Packers. Not to say that they would beat the Packers, but they can play whatever game they would need that Belichick saw. This is what we're going to have to do to beat these guys. I'm pulling for that matchup.
Yeah, definitely would be an interesting matchup. We got Carl on the line from Sharon, Mass. This is Carl Desberg. I owe you something. How's it going, Carl?
Hey, Eric. Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. I listen to the Pat's Propaganda and a Friend's podcast every week, and it's unbelievable to hear you guys in this form, then. So congratulations, firstly.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. I kind of want to talk about my concerns about the Patriots' offense. I know everyone, you know, like to talk about the Patriots' concerns on defense. My concerns are the lack of depth, specifically at wide receiver and potentially even running back. They're so dependent on these two wide receivers, Welker and Branch. If one were to go down, neither of them are replaceable in my eyes. And even if you look at Ben Jarvis, if he were to go down, who would be, you know, the workhorse? And you saw what happened when Hernandez went down. If you even went to the tight end, it kind of transformed the offense to a three wide receiver, one tight end set. So I'd just like to hear what you guys think about potentially if they were to lose one of these key cogs in the offense, what it would really mean for their approach going forward.
I think it's a fair point to bring up, but, you know, obviously teams deal with injuries all the time. So it's not necessarily, you know, you have to prepare for them, but you can't expect them. And with Branch, obviously he's been injured a lot in the past, mostly when he was in a Seahawks uniform, so we'll keep our fingers crossed for that one to continue. But I think you look at this, the way this offense has played so far, and they've been spreading the ball around. I mean, obviously their sets have been too wide and too tight, but it hasn't really been about any one guy. So I think if you take one guy out, it's not necessarily going to unravel the entire offensive game plan. But I see where you're coming from with your concern, and I'm not sure that a guy like maybe Julian Edelman wouldn't be able to step up in that situation. I know that he hasn't played a whole lot, but that's more because he's not getting the opportunities. And I don't think that it's necessarily it comes down to him not.
What does that say about the depth at the wide receiver position? You see someone like Julian Edelman and Taylor Price specifically. Let's forget Ocho Cinco for the sake of this talk. Is it a lack of opportunity or is it a lack of progression from these guys that we're kind of drafting and nurturing? Because you see these two guys, Welker and Branch, who are kind of at the hip of Brady, and they're his best friends. What's it going to say from a development from a wide receiver position standpoint?
Well, I think it's a combination of the two, Carl. I think that you look at, you know, because the Patriots can't, they always put the guys out there that give them the best chance to win. And if, and that happens to come at the expense of developing their talent at wide receiver. They're not going to put a guy out there that doesn't give them a good chance to win the game. And you can only pick up so much from practice. Eventually you have to go out there and get reps in real game situations. And if you're not getting those reps, then maybe you won't be ready. But I think, I mean, we've seen Edelman do some nice things when he's given the opportunity. So I don't think it's necessarily one or the other. I think it's a combination of the both.
No, but I think that's a very good analysis of that. I think I'd have to agree with you on that end.
I think it's a good point, and it's a sneaky thing that people probably don't realize. But I mean, it definitely will be interesting if Ben Jarvis went down. Even with Ben Jarvis with an injury is kind of interesting. But you know, they've got all those running backs, and if they've got to throw one of those guys in, I mean, there are worse things than having to throw a couple second rounders in there, or you know, Woodhead. Granted, I think it's another thing that hasn't really been talked about either. So Woodhead hasn't really been as explosive as he was last year. And on the outside, you're totally right. I mean, that's when I'm going to start to worry about Chad Ochocinco. If Brancher Welker gets dinged, that's when Chad Ochocinco comes to the foreground for me and say, all right, guy, you've been here for X amount of weeks. Now it's time to put up or shut up.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carl, for calling in. We kind of dropped you there. Sorry about that. But, we're starting to run out of time here, so I'm going to start wrapping things up. But I wanted to get really quick hit from you, Mike. What do you think? Who do you think are some of the other AFC contenders here this season? And I mean, just kind of give your general thoughts on, you know, some teams that could give the Patriots some problems.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, the Ravens, you know, before this week, like I said, everybody thought that it was us and them, and maybe the Steelers. And I mean, I obviously with the Ravens defense, you always have to respect them. And with Ray Rice, and you know, we see it every week. Teams have off weeks all the time where they look horrible. The Patriots lose to the Browns. I mean, I think we're spoiled here in that the Patriots play consistently so well. But after that, you know, there's just a lot of teams with flaws, you know, and I think the Patriots are probably, at least at this point, the least flawed team. I mean, they do have their flaws. Pittsburgh, on paper, looks like a legitimate contender, but I mean, we haven't yet to really see them, you know, show what they have. They've squeaked out some games against bad teams. You know, but after that, it's kind of just this vast open, and you just don't know who's going to really emerge out of the rest of the teams. I mean, I like Buffalo. I think that they have a good offense, and I mean, it remains to be seen if they're going to be able to keep up the consistent level of play, and we're obviously going to learn a lot about them next week when they play the Jets.
Absolutely. Well, I guess that's going to about do it for us on this podcast. It's been great talking to everybody for a couple of hours here. This is Eric Friends from Bleacher Report and Cold Hard Football Facts. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Friends. That's E-R-I-K-F-R-E-N-Z. And this is also Mike Dussault from PatsPropaganda.com. You can find him at PatsPropaganda. And you can find his work on PatsPropaganda.com. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And, we'll talk to you guys on our own podcast, maybe, if you decide to tune in.